Hey, you meathead. You're listening to some more great gaming shows here on the Goblin Broadcast Network. Find some more at gbncom.com.
Hi, I'm Blue.
And I'm Gamer Zero.
We're from Gamer Radio Zero, and you're listening to The Tome
Show.
It's not the show, it's the tome.
It's the tome.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
Because
you know?
It's my job.
Jeez, you know, that's it. I'm out of here.
Oh, whatever.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 56. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews show, and I am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we will be crossing over with Gamer Zero and Blue. Welcome again to episode 56 of The Tome. Gamer Zero and Blue from the Gamer Radio Zero podcast, the official podcast of Gleemax over at Wizards of the Coast. To start off here, I just want to encourage everybody to hop on over to the website. Make sure you're checking out the forums. I'm getting information there about 4th edition, and we're chatting a little bit about that, and we're talking a little bit about the summer contest that I'm working on for this summer. So feel free to stop over and let us know what's going on. This is the next episode in what I'm hoping will be a blitz of several episodes in this week. So look forward to a lot more coming out of the Tome in the next several days as I am on break. But I'm not going to chat much longer here. I'm going to jump right into the interview that Jeffrey D. Wynn got at D&D Experience with Gamer Zero and Blue. This is the last of his interviews, and then I have one more D&D Experience report that he filed, talking a little bit about what it was like to be there and to play the demos and that kind of stuff as we get into the beginnings of con season, and you can get a feel for what you can expect when you go to a convention and get to play some of the 4th edition demos. So, here we go. Take it away, Jeffrey D. Wynn.
So tell me about this Gamer Radio Zero. When did you guys start it, and why was it started?
So we originally started it in, I think the first episode was in July last year, and it was originally an audio podcast like The Tome.
Right. And it was just you.
It was just me, and I would just rattle on for 45 minutes.
Hours.
To an hour,
and
it was,
and then suddenly it became video, and you suddenly had a co-host.
What happened was
my first show was audio.
The first show was audio, but what happened was we went to Gen Con, and we did a lot of filming at Gen Con about 4th edition release and some of the other things, and that was just really, really popular. We had so many people that were downloading the videos. We had over a million downloads, and it's kind of like, well, okay, I guess I can be on video, and nobody's been sick. There hasn't been a mass epidemic at the hospital for seeing me on film, so we're like, why don't we go?
It hides
the bald hair and kind of takes the edge off. But we thought, to be safe, why don't we have an engaging and charismatic person come on the show and join us?
And you couldn't get that.
So we couldn't get that, right, so we exactly. Got Blue. So exactly. Yeah, see, you saw where we're going.
I'll start with how did you become Blue? Are you Blue all the time? Is Blue you, or did you create Blue for this show?
It was kind of just an unpredictable chain of events. I was in a indie sci-fi action movie this summer, and I played an alien.
Do you want to plug your movie on the...
It's called Project London. It's not out yet. It'll probably hopefully be out this summer.
Everyone buy Project London.
Project right. London. And,
don't buy it. It's not good.
Shut up.
Sorry.
So I had just stopped filming that, and I had convinced them, I played the character Zing Zing, and I'm like, Zing Zing fix, she needs blue hair. And they're like, we hadn't really thought about it. Okay. I'm like, score. I get to dye my hair blue. And I had just come off of that movie, and we were thinking about filming, and I needed to come up with some kind of on-screen persona.
Do you want to give the ladies or the guys at home who might want to dye their hair any tips?
Yeah, I can give them some tips. So, I'm sorry, you're talking to her. Go ahead.
No, by all means.
Choose your color wisely.
True.
Wash your hair.
You do have to pick the right color.
Can I ask what your real name is, in case anyone's curious?
It's very easy to find.
Okay.
Mike Lesko. My name is Mike Lesko.
Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And you are called Gamer Zero. Did you come up with that? Was that decided for you? How did you get this gig?
I kind of came up with it. On the message forums, we wanted to have a name, and we wanted to kind of think of something that was a little bit clever. We wanted to have the show sort of, you know, have the name for the show. A lot of the influences were like Major Nelson, who I'm sure you've taken as an influence for your show. And it was kind of like, well, you know, it's a pretty interesting sort of, how do we come up with a name that sort of speaks to a lot of things? No, but you don't think Major Nelson? You haven't listened to him before? He seemed to me to be...
Geez. Kids these days. No.
Xbox, podcast, Major Nelson. He's been doing it for...
He probably took his name from IGMG.
For a couple of years now, and it was...
I'm going to edit that part out where I sounded stupid.
You should check it out. It's sort of what Game Radio Zero was modeled after. He did such a good job of, like, just having an audio show, talking about games, and he's not just... He'll talk about the PS3, even though he works for Microsoft. He'll talk about the Wii, and his gadgets are his thing, and he talks about gadgets, and it's really a very, very popular show. So that's what we were modeled after.
And who picked out the hat?
Me.
Very nice hat.
She did pick out this hat.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of
hats. Really? What's your hat? You don't have it?
I had the official Indiana Jones hat.
Oh, nice.
And I left it at a bowling alley. Unfortunately, my friend picked it up.
I just lost my hat.
This is not going to be on the podcast, by the way, all about my hat.
Yeah, no, let's just talk about hats for a half hour. I lost my hat at GDC in San Francisco.
Inconsolable.
For at least 10 minutes.
No, like, she's still
no,
not
to
over
this
it.
Day. Yeah. Do you want to see pictures?
She has pictures of the hat.
Yeah.
This is the video podcast.
Yeah. She
doesn't understand that. Don't.
So your production values have, like, gone up. Like, you started adding skits. You have props now. You have that giant remote control.
Yeah.
Like, how much planning and stuff goes into a podcast?
Yeah.
Is it still lots of ad lib or what?
We have a lot of ad lib.
We don't plan
much. Something that we kind of let evolve naturally, like that remote. We were going out to D&D Game Day, and stopped at Walgreens, and it was just there.
And she's like, oh, Mike, will you buy me this
remote?
Come on.
It's really cool. No, this is cool.
I don't have my wallet. It's the whole I don't have my wallet thing.
You seem to have built up this great on-screen relationship. You really seem to play off of each other pretty well.
Yeah, it works well.
He leans on me a lot.
You should see us off screen, though. We don't even talk. She just walks with her head up in this indignant, like, pose.
I remember your early shows. Like, your entire shtick was Bruno didn't show up to
playtesting.
That was your joke, like, every session. Every episode.
Yeah, it's funny how you can have that joke for so many episodes in a row.
Did you eventually show up to playtesting?
Yes. Well, right now it's kind of on hold just because our DM doesn't have time.
Maybe Blue doesn't want to go to playtest.
That's
okay?
What I'm saying.
Maybe she doesn't like your group. Maybe she wants to playtest with another group, right?
Well, sure. I'm sure, yeah, you know. The only reason she went is, you know, she put up with us is so she can get into the fourth edition playtest.
If someone would quit eating my dice, maybe I would show up.
Dice.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? We should make those.
Chocolate dice.
Chocolate
dice. Why hasn't Wizards of the Coast made chocolate dice?
I don't know. That's a great idea.
Duh.
I gotta go
make
phone call.
Make some dice.
Yeah.
Get right on that. Get right on that. So I think your most your most technically impressive one to date was the Valentine's one where you were changing costumes and
with the sapphire and the flowers.
That was fun. I like that. And
you think that was good?
You're actually good when they cut you off and don't let you ramble so much.
Mm-hmm. And when I don't say so, they like yell at me. They're like, and I'll be like, okay, what are you gonna say? And I'll like, okay, I know what I'm gonna say.
He says so. I say nice. Nice.
Everything is nice.
And Katie's hovering, so I think we might have to bring this to a close.
Who? Katie Page?
Two more minutes? Two minutes.
So let's talk about Katie for 2 minutes.
tell me your whole life story in 2 minutes.
So,
What's next for Gamer Radio Zero? Are we going to see bigger and better things from the podcast?
We're looking into what we can do for some sort of more interactive, maybe some live sort of video streaming with a chat room and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe get some Skype in there. Try to kind of amp it up a little bit. Like, you know, get Chris Perkins sitting down in front of a webcam with me and people in the chat room saying, tell us about this, tell us about that.
Chris Perkins is a pretty scary guy. He's got that shiny.
He is. He scares me.
He's very intimidating.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe he won't be our first guest. We don't want to intimidate the chat room.
Maybe we can get Sarah Gerard on, because she's got a huge following. It's really something.
She does.
She secretly runs Wizards of the Coast.
I'm the treasurer of her fan club.
I sat down here and I had so many questions for Sarah, because they were all like, when you go to the convention, ask Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah's awesome. So.
Okay, I think our 2 minutes are off.
Well, okay. There's Gamer Zero and Blue at D&D Experience with Jeffrey D. Wynn. Now, instead of a promo, I'm going to play you another quick episode of WAP Caplets to give you a feel for what WAP Caplets is all about. WAP Caplets is done by Chris Engler, who you've heard on some recent episodes talking to me about 4th edition. And you can find WAP Caplets at wapcaplets.podbean.com.
Hi, and thanks for tuning into WAP Caplets. Well, with the advent of 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, Wizards has also redone the rules for their D&D collectible miniatures games. I'm going to be talking about the new 4th edition version of the game, and I'll just start out by saying I never have even played the previous version of the game even once, so I can't really compare the two game-wise, so won't be talking about that. Now, the new D&D miniatures aren't entirely compatible with the old game. What they've done is they had customers vote online for 59 of the 60 slots in what they're calling an all-star set. So basically, they're going to take 60 miniatures from the dozen or so sets that exist and publish new cards for them. I don't know if they're going to be selling those or making them available online, or if that's actually going to be an actual set that they're going to sell. But there's going to be 60 of those. 59 of those slots were voted on by fans, and they've reserved one spot that the staff are going to pick. They've also published, as free PDF downloads, stat cards for the two most recent sets under the old rules, which you can download and print for free. So while that may not placate some of the completists that all of a sudden have a big bunch of miniatures that aren't compatible with the latest and greatest rules, it's not a bad effort. It's pretty good for people that are just getting into the game. Gives them an expanded selection of miniatures, which you can probably pick up for cheap, and a free way to bring them into the new game. So I picked up this game yesterday, and I played it last night. I picked up their starter set and one booster. The starter set was $20, and it includes 5 fixed rarity miniatures with a full rule book, some fold-out paper battle mats that you play the game on, and a D20. And the booster contained 8 randomly sorted miniatures. Now, when I first looked at the miniatures themselves, I was a little disappointed. They're the rubbery, bendy plastic, and some of the paint jobs left a lot to be desired. But I'll qualify that by saying I was holding them up in my mind to the miniatures that I've been buying for Rackham's AT43 and Confrontation games lately, which are of a superior quality, both in terms of the sculpts and the paint jobs themselves. But you get what you pay for. Like I said, a D&D booster of 8 randomly assorted miniatures was $15. To buy 8 miniatures from Rackham, you're looking at least $30, probably significantly more depending on the faction you're playing. So while the sculpts aren't the best and the paint jobs could be better, you're getting a pretty good value for what you're paying for D&D minis. But I know that past sets in the old version of the game did have some really brilliant sculpts and paint jobs. The one miniature that I did see that I was really impressed by, it was a sculpt of a purple worm, and the paint job on it was amazing for pre-painted, so I'm hoping that they'll get back to that standard with future sets. Now, this game is essentially a board game. You play it on a grid of squares, which is actually really good because it saves a lot of time measuring, so gameplay goes really quickly. One thing that some of the tabletop miniatures gamers may not like about it is they've equated moving one diagonal square as moving one square forward, but that was done more for simplicity, and if you know that going into the game, it shouldn't be too much of a problem for you. And I guess if you really wanted, you could convert all those distances on the diagonal to the square root of 2 and everybody will be happy. Now, you do have to buy the starter kit to get the maps, and they look pretty good, and they're both reversible, so you've got four different maps to play on. One thing that I can see myself doing is using my ChessX mat and some of the terrain that I have for the Battleground Fantasy Miniatures card-based game and making up some new play areas. Now, one thing that I'm personally not a huge fan of the game is it's very light on theme. You're basically just assembling war bands of miniatures together, running at each other and fighting. Now, that's basically what you're doing in any miniatures game, but I currently play AT-43, Confrontation, and Hordes. And one thing that I really like about those games is that they've invested time in making some significant and interesting and well-written fiction to go along with that, to give the armies reasons to fight one another. I mean, I was playing last night and, you know, I had a beholder and a vampire and a giant centipede that for some reason were all fighting together. Like I said, this is more of a board game than a miniatures game, but it's something that I think they might have spent a little bit more time talking about that just gave these war bands a little more sense for why they're fighting together. Now, this is a points-based game. The typical game is 200 points worth, which should get you somewhere between half a dozen and a dozen models on the table, depending on your style of play, whether you're going with big, beefy creatures or a lot of little ones. Each of the creatures is divided into one of four factions, which are color-based, and they can't have more than one faction. And the only rules for setting out a warband is that all of the creatures have to be matching on at least one of those factions. So you may have some creatures that have only one color, you may have some creatures that are two, and it doesn't matter what all their colors are like in aggregate as long as all of them match on at least one color. And the only other restriction is that they have all the creatures further divided into three alignments, which they're calling good, evil, and unaligned. And good and evil creatures can't be in the same warband. The rules of the game itself, if you've ever played a D20-based role-playing game, will be very easy for you to pick up. There are not as many options as there are in Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 combat, but a lot of the concepts and terminology are going to be the same. Everything is done resolving rolling of a D20. Like I said, if you've played any D20 games, the rules will be very easy for you to pick up, and it uses a lot of familiar concepts. So a typical game is 200 points, but we were playing 100-point games last night, and games were taking between 15 and 20 minutes, so if you extrapolate that, assuming the time's going to double for a 200-point game, you're looking between half an hour and 40 minutes for a game. And we were also learning as we go and looking up stuff in the rule book that we wanted to clarify. So it's a relatively quick game for a miniatures game compared to the hour to 3 hours that I'm used to playing in games like AT-43 and Confrontation and Hordes. I personally had a lot of fun playing it. I know that the people at Battlegrounds, my local game store, are rabid over it. The store owner cannot keep them in stock. So if you're looking for a good board game-esque, really easy to pick up, easy to set up, and easy to play miniatures game, hop on down to your local game store, plop down about $40, and try out D&D Minis. This show is a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network, at gbncom.com. WAP Caplets is copyright 2008 Chris Engler under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 2.5 Canada license.
Fit all the gaming podcasts you possibly can inside your head with rpgpodcasts.com.
Well, okay, there's episode 56. As always, I want to encourage you to send in your emails and audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com. Give me your feedback. Also, hop over to the forums. That's a great place to leave feedback, or to generally just chat about what's going on in games. And since we share a forum with Gamers Haven and Fistful of Comics at fistfulofcomics.com and canadiancrusaders.com, you can also chat about all kinds of other things, whether it be movies, comics, or all sorts of other geeky goodness. Also, you can help the show get noticed with reviews on places like iTunes or votes on sites like Podcast Alley. But more than that, get out there and tell people that you think might be interested about the show, and that'll help the show find its audience and help us grow. Because ultimately, people generally find out about podcasting from their friends, and we need to grow the number of people that listen to podcasts in order to grow our audience. Also, don't forget to consider checking out the Tomes Amazon store. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. And once again, you can find all of that at thetomeshow.com. Okay, this has been episode 56. Gamer Zero and Blue at D&D Experience with Jeffrey D. Wynn of...
The Tome.